Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Worst Foot Forward, your monthly bonus episode, The Third Foot, where we go back in time, back to a topic we've talked about in a past episode, and dig a little deeper, get under the skin of things. And I'm the one popping the hood this week while Ben's standing beside me kicking the tires. And the burnt out old jalopy that we're having a tinker with this week is the Oscars awards ceremony.
All of them.
Every single one of them. Strap in, guys. The music better start playing now, actually, to walk me off. No, in episode 63 of the podcast with John Dryden Taylor, we talked about the world's worst opening ceremonies, and John took us through in excruciating detail through the opening of the 1989 Oscar ceremony, which feature, I mean, the highlights for you guys was an unknown actress singing and dancing, pretending to be Snow White, alongside post-sex tape Rob Lowe.
So is that his official name?
His full name is post-sex tape Robert Angelo Lowe, presumably. Yeah, it's 11 minutes of sheer camp hell. And the video is on YouTube if you want to go look it up. So we highly recommend that. But that gave me the jumping off point to look at the Oscar ceremony in general, because I feel like it's one of those things we keep coming back to every now and again in episodes. Mm-hmm. It's a fertile ground for weird moments and humanity letting itself down. Do you know when the first Oscar ceremony was?
1929.
It was indeed. But it gave awards for films from 1927 and 28 as well.
That seems, you'd be gutted if you were making a film in 1929 and knowing that you only had you had less than one in three chance.
Yes. It was hosted by Douglas Fairbanks. It was just a dinner party at a hotel that people paid, I think, $5 for a ticket to, and it lasted 15 minutes.
Oh, that sounds dreamy, doesn't
it? Can you imagine an Oscar ceremony? Like, an Oscar segment doesn't last 15 minutes these days. The first award ever given at it went to a guy called Emil Jannings, who was won the Best Actor Award for The Way of All Flesh from 1927 and The Last Command from 1928. He was in these two movies, so he was brilliant in both of them.
The Way of All Flesh sounds like a pretty racy movie.
It does, yeah, pretty saucy stuff. These were both silent films as well. So when the talkies came through, Jannings wasn't really able to perform them because he had a very thick German accent. So he returned home to Germany. Yes.
any sentence from the 30s that starts with, so he returned home to the motherland.
Yeah. He became associated with Goebbels' propaganda machine, you'll be pleased to hear, and went and starred in lots of sort of Nazi propaganda films.
Listen, you've got to go where the work is.
Yeah, well, in fairness to him, when the Allies reached Berlin in 1945, he walked around with his Oscar statue so he could win over the American soldiers.
I thought you were going to say when the Allies turned up, he was like, well, I'm an actor, time to break out the American accent.
That's the best example of a don't you know who I am clang ever.
Don't you know who I am? Not the enemy. Going back to a thing I said, do Germans call Germany the fatherland or the motherland? I think it's the fatherland.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe, yeah, fatherland sounds right.
I think it's fatherland and
the Sudetenland.
Stop it. That's Czechoslovakia. Yeah.
Not as far as they were concerned.
Sure. And Russians call Russia Mother Russia or the motherland.
Yes.
So what would happen?
What's baby land?
What's baby land?
America.
America is the baby of Germany and Russia.
Yeah.
Discuss for 25 marks.
Deutschmarks, presumably. I mentioned silent films as well. You know that Wings was the first ever film to win Best Film.
What, the documentary about the making of the band?
Yes.
Making of the band.
Yeah. About the making of the band, The Band.
The Band, The Band.
Starring the... No, the film is far too silly. The first film to ever win sort of Best Film was Wings. It was a silent film. Do you know how many other silent films have won Oscars for Best Film?
One, The Artist.
Yeah, literally just that.
Oh,
it's
mate,
amazing.
I am smashing this trivia.
Go on, do you know where the name The Oscars comes from for the Academy Awards?
Oh, got it. It was named after, like, the husband of someone who organised it?
Uncle, yeah. The Academy librarian, Margaret Herrick, said the statuette bore a resemblance to her Uncle Oscar.
Who was a tall, thin, balding, gold man.
Yes, yeah, holding a... Have you looked at them up close?
No.
They've got a crusader's sword standing on a reel of film. Because I think the bit we sort of just recognise the bald head and the body, but actually if you look close, they've got like a sword and they're standing on film reel. And it was designed by MGM's chief art director, Cedric Gibbons, in 1929. But they'd been actually... They officially started calling them the Oscars from 1939, but they'd be people had sort of informally been calling it that anyway. Early ceremonies, they were made from gold-plated solid bronze. And then they later changed that for a pewter alloy, Britannia metal. But during the Second World War, there were metal shortages, so all awards handed out between 1943 and 45 are made of painted plaster.
Huh.
Yeah. After the war was over, though, they did offer to replace people's statues. That's very kind. Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, if you are a highly strong Hollywood director and you reach out to find a murder weapon,
yeah,
and you won an award between 1943 to 1945, and you try and clang someone over the head with it, and it just shatters everywhere because it's made of plaster.
Yeah, it was, yeah, especially it was one of those like those sugar glass bottles that people use on film sets. I read a bit about Oscar's hosts as well. Do you know who's hosted the most times?
Is it Billy Crystal?
He's the second most. He's hosted 9 times. Someone else has hosted it's, 19 times.
Oh, it's earlier than that. So it's someone like Bob Hope?
It is exactly Bob Hope. Yeah, he's hosted 19 times. And basically, any Oscar ceremony which had multiple hosts usually had a Bob Hope in the middle of it as well back then. Bob Hope, 19 times. Then Billy Crystal, 9 times. Johnny Carson, 4 times. Whoopi Goldberg and Jack Lemmon, 4 times.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, I'd watch that.
Yeah, not together.
Oh, right.
That was a duo.
What, Lemon and Goldberg? It's an absolute classic.
Well, you say that. Listen to some of these for lineups of Oscars hosts. Obviously, like, we had the dreadful version of, like, Hathaway and Franco was sort of a mismatch. But you
sorry,
had,
so who and Franco?
Anne Hathaway and
what,
James
Franco.
What,
I'm the Spanish dictator.
Is that, yeah, Francisco Franco, yeah. Yeah. Like, if you go back through who hosted the different ceremonies, like, the hosts from different years, the lineups are pretty cool. 1987, you had Chevy Chase, Goldie Hawn, and Paul Hogan hosting it together.
Oh, that is a lot of spray tan.
The year before that, you had the anti-war trio of Alan Alda, Jane Fonda, and Robin Williams.
Great.
I really like 1983, Liza Minnelli,
great.
Walter Matthau.
I just imagine Liza hitting like an A above Top C and Matthau sat there miserably like a deflated bulldog.
Alongside, they had two more, Dudley Moore and Richard Pryor.
Wow, okay.
Sometimes it's hard to like put the like people in a room together, even though you know they lived at the same time. And that's a really, a good combo. I also really liked 1975, the year The Godfather Part II won the best film. You had Sammy Davis Jr., Bob Hope, of course, Shirley MacLaine, and Frank Sinatra. That's a proper old Hollywood hosting lineup, isn't it? 1973, Carol Burnett, Charlton Heston, Rock Hudson, and Michael Caine.
Yeah. That makes you remember how long Michael Caine's been about for.
Yeah, like forever. I like 1959, you had Bob Hope again. David Niven, who pops up at a load of these as well. Tony Randall, who was in the play version of The Odd Couple, I think. A comedian called Mort Sahl. Jerry Lewis. And Laurence Olivier. The year that Lewis was hosting it, or co-hosting it, he'd already hosted a couple of times. The producer was a guy called Jerry Wald, and he kept cutting segments of the show to try and streamline it. But the Best Picture winner was announced, the climax of the show, with 20 minutes of airtime left.
Oh.
Yeah. Another on-Oscar ceremony that runs short. So basically, he was like, you need to do something. You need to help us. Yeah. So Jerry Lewis had to improvise for like 20 minutes.
Live on air?
Yeah. So he got like some of the winners of the awards on the night to come on stage, and he organised a big waltz and really conducted the orchestra.
A waltz?
Yeah, he just conducted the orchestra and they were dancing around him. He led the orchestra in a rendition of There's No Business Like Show Business, and is like cracking jokes to the camera. Some of it's quite funny, but if you watch it, it's like you can tell how insanely like he's got a tight 5 and he's been told he's doing 20. and people are quite uncomfortable around him. And I also really like, my favorite year would have been the year before that, 1958. We had an actress called Rosalind Russell, who was in His Girl Friday, Jack Lemmon, James Stewart, Bob Hope, and David Niven, of course, and Donald Duck.
Yes, we spoke about this.
Yeah, Donald Duck was a host. With pre-recorded animation, and then they had, I think, the live voice was provided by the voice of Donald Duck.
God, I bet they're glad that Donald Duck wasn't hosting the year they ran 20 minutes under.
Yeah, we need the duck to fill.
Yeah. When we can fill the duck.
You've got cartoonists scribbling 24 frames a second. In 1986, they had another odd musical number, a rendition of A Fugue for Tin Horns from Guys and Dolls.
I don't know.
I don't really know it. I've seen Guys and Dolls and I can't remember it, but it's from Guys and Dolls.
Just a small little side point on that. Me and my wife recently drove back from Aberdeen, which is quite a long way, and I've got in my car loads of old CDs that I made and had when CDs were a going thing.
Yeah.
Anyone under the age of 20, a CD is, you know, those sort of like shiny metallic coasters
that
your dad is using? And I've got one that I bought of the Rat Pack live at the Sands Casino.
Oh, cool.
Which is, I mean, it's quite cool. The performances are good. The humour and badinage are self-indulgent, bordering on racist.
Yeah.
But they sing some songs from Guys and Dolls, and whoa, is that a sexist musical now?
Oh, you think?
I don't know. I love The Lady is a Tramp musically, and Luck Be a Lady musically, but being in a car listening to that sung by Frank Sinatra with your wife next to you, you realise how horrible those lyrics are.
If you tuned into the Oscars in 1986, you could have seen three luminaries of the silver screen singing this track. Dom DeLuise.
Great.
Mr. Miyagi, Pat Morita.
Less good.
And Telly Savalas, a.k.a. Kojak.
Oh, that's like the three embarrassing uncles at the wedding.
Yeah, what's the opposite of the three tenors?
The three fivers.
Yeah. I was interested to know when you had years where hosts were also nominated for awards.
Oh, that's a bit awkward.
Yeah.
Go on, go for it.
In the last decade, there have been a couple. Seth MacFarlane hosted, infamously, in 2013. He was nominated for Best Original Song for a song from Ted. A couple of years before that, we mentioned already, James Franco was nominated for 127 Hours, which was about the length of the Oscar ceremony that year, for Best Actor. Paul Hogan was nominated for Best Original Screenplay for Crocodile Dundee. I didn't know Crocodile Dundee had been nominated for an Oscar either.
Okay, in the same way that from previous episodes, we'll be talking about Sidney Poitier's Ghost Art.
Yes.
We're also going to talk about Oscar-nominated Crocodile Dundee.
Yes. Walter Matthau, when he hosted in 1976, was nominated for Best Actor for The Sunshine Boys. Michael Caine in 1973 was nominated for Best Actor for Sleuth. And the only winner, 1959, David Niven, he won Best Actor for Separate Tables. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Oh, it's me, he says, opening the envelope. Although the envelope thing is a more recent addition as well. They used to leak the winners to the press like the evening before, but there was an embargo, so they'd have it ready to announce. And then one year it got out, like the LA Times published the winners before the ceremony. And so to stop that happening in future, they instituted this thing with the envelope, which is why nobody
Which has worked
about.
Really well, apart from on one occasion.
Yeah, as I think people probably remember in 2017, Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty announced the wrong winner for Best Picture, announcing La La Land, when it should have been Moonlight. Faye Dunaway said in an interview a couple months later that Warren took the card out and he didn't say anything. He paused, he looked over me off stage, he looked around, and I finally said, "You're impossible." I thought he was joking and doing a dramatic pause. I read about in like awkward moments from Oscars ceremonies like that, because that's what we really are about in this show.
Yeah, yeah.
1933, both Frank Lloyd and Frank Capra were nominated in the Best Director category. Do you want to guess what happened when Will Rogers came up to announce the award?
He mentioned the wrong Frank.
He said, "Come on up and get it, Frank." And duly, Frank Capra ran up on stage to claim his award, only to then be said, "Oh, no, the other Frank." And it was Frank Lloyd instead. Capra said the journey back to his chair was the longest, saddest, most shattering walk in my life. "I wish I could have crawled under the rug like a miserable worm. When I slumped in my chair, I felt like one. All my friends at the table were crying."
Oh, mate.
You'll be glad to know the next year, Frank Capra won Best Director for It Happened One Night, so made up for it. Oh, do you remember there were some Oscars statues stolen about 20 years ago?
But they were, when they stolen by Bobby Moore?
and a dog found it. No, I think there was just police aren't really sure what happened. Like, there was a crate of them in the warehouse where they were being made that were taken, and I think people probably just took them by accident. They didn't know what they were stealing. But in 1938, an actress called Alice Brady won Best Supporting Actress for her role in Old Chicago, but she was too ill to attend the ceremony. And when her name was announced, a guy came up on stage to collect it for her, apparently on her behalf. And before anyone realised that, oh, they had no idea who this dude was, he had just disappeared with her Oscar.
That's incredible.
Yeah, nobody. He was like, oh, I'm here to collect Alice's award. You're like, okay, we assume you're a relative. So nobody knows whatever happened to Alice Brady's stolen Oscar statue. Top men. I think I might have asked this question before. Do you know the only person to win an Oscar and a Nobel Prize?
Is it... The only person to win an Oscar and a Nobel Prize. Is it C.B. Fry?
It's usually C.B. Fry, yeah, isn't it?
If in doubt.
Yeah. No, it's George Bernard Shaw.
Oh, I did know that one. That's a great pub quiz question.
Yeah, yeah. He won a Nobel Prize for Literature in 1925. And then in 1939, won an Academy Award for adapting Pygmalion into a film script. And he didn't attend the ceremony, saying that, give me an Oscar, they might as well send some honour to George for being King of England. We mentioned David Niven.
Yeah.
This is quite a famous moment. In 1974, he was introducing Liz Taylor, who was going to present the Best Picture Award, and a naked man ran on stage behind him. There was a streaker during the Oscars ceremony.
Was that a bet that got out of hand, or were they protesting something, or...?
He was... Not entirely sure. I think it might have been a protest. The guy was a photographer called Robert Opel, who worked for the gay magazine and the LGBT magazine, The Advocate. And Niven very quickly quipped, isn't it fascinating to think that probably the only laugh that man will ever get in life is by stripping off and showing his shortcomings? In 2000, do you remember the South Park film was nominated? Oh, certainly the South Park makers were there.
Yeah.
Trey Parker, Matt Stone and Mark Shaman.
Like a genuinely brilliant movie.
Yeah. Do you remember what they wore to the Oscars on the red carpet?
No.
They wore ladies' clothes. They came dressed in like beautiful glittering ball gown dresses and things.
Great.
Apparently they were mimicking Jennifer Lopez and Gwyneth Paltrow. They later admitted they were on acid at the time.
Oh, I think the Oscars on acid might be a bit intense.
Well, if you were on acid in 2001, you might have been freaked out by Bjork's behaviour on the red carpet.
Oh, where she wore a swan dress and laid an egg.
And laid six eggs along the red carpet.
Where was she hiding them?
I don't know. It's very impressive. She's got voluminous cloaca, does Bjork.
That's actually the name of her latest album. Yeah.
Her dress is, apparently, the dress she wore is in MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art now, apparently. In 2012, Sacha Baron Cohen appeared in character as Admiral General Aladdin from his movie The Dictator.
Yeah.
And do you remember what he did when he was being interviewed by Ryan Seacrest? He spilled some ashes from a golden urn all over Ryan Seacrest.
Oh my God.
If you went to the Oscars, you're a comedian, you might, you know, if you had to wrote a screenplay, hit screenplay, would you go in like proper black tie or would you go in like something wacky?
No, I wouldn't go in black tie because I hate black tie.
Tweed.
Tempting, though it depends what the temperature is there. I wouldn't go in something wacky because any comedian who describes himself as wacky deserves to end up on a Channel 5 kids TV show.
Yeah.
What would I wear? I don't know. I like Tails. I'd be very...
From Sonic the Hedgehog. You'd go as Tails from Sonic the Hedgehog.
Correct. Correct. And I would just go around collecting all of the statues like they were gold coins.
Yeah. But presumably you'd be doing it several feet behind whoever the main person you're with is. Yeah. Like Tails. Do you remember in 2014, John Travolta introducing one of the nominated songs that year?
No,
so in 2014, Frozen was sort of the big animated hit, and so Let It Go had been nominated for Best Original Song, and he introduced Idina Menzel on stage to sing it by introducing the wickedly talented Adele Dazeem.
Clearly, and then an Arabian lady walked on stage.
Clearly had a good run-up at it, but didn't quite get it. The following year, 2015, Neil Patrick Harris was hosting.
Great.
And he was doing a bit of chit-chat and he said, Benedict Cumberbatch, it's not only the most awesome name in show business, it's also the sound you get when you ask John Travolta to pronounce Ben Affleck. And then that year, Idina Menzel appeared to introduce John Travolta as Glom Gazingo. yeah, he came out on stage to see the funny side of the joke, but then proceeded to really touch her face in a really weird way.
He'll do that.
Yeah. In 2016, another awkward moment. Do you remember the first openly gay man to receive an Oscar was Sam Smith? Except he wasn't.
As in he wasn't openly gay?
As in he was openly gay, but definitely wasn't the first openly gay man to receive an Oscar. Yet he sort of hinted that he probably was in the speech that he gave.
Yeah, okay, who's the first openly
gay? I mean, Elton John, for one, has won an Oscar. Howard Ashman, the other another composer. Scott Rudin. And Dustin Lance Black, who's Tom Daly's husband. He wrote the screenplay for Milk. They're all openly gay men.
They are. Not that it matters, but not had a gay man or gay woman win an Oscar for
not
acting.
Not an acting Oscar, as far as I'm aware, no. Not yet.
Give
me time, though. 2017, Jan Chapman, an Australian costume designer, her photo appeared in the memoriam section.
Mm-hmm.
What was the problem?
She wasn't dead.
No, she wasn't dead.
Great.
It was another costume designer, Janet Patterson, had died. Obviously, Jan Chapman was a bit devastated to see her picture in the display.
But the fashion world is notoriously bitchy. So after those designs, darling, you are dead to us.
That's very true. And maybe the most awkward Oscars moment of all time, and I'm going to finish with this, is do you remember 1973? Because you're so old then.
Vividly.
Do you know who won Best Actor in 1973? Marlon Brando for The Godfather. Do you know who collected the award?
I do. It was a Native American lady / girl who he either sent in his stead or he brought with him, and he sent her up to protest against the general treatment of Native Americans.
Yes, yeah, he did. Her name was Sachin Littlefeather, although apparently she was born Marie-Louise Cruz.
I'm just going to say, this seems on the face of it quite a good thing.
Hands down, Native Americans not gotten the best end of the stick from, the European settlers.
Are you about to tell me that actually it's much worse than I think it is?
It's just not a really fun moment for anybody. it was a big deal. Brando had sort of fallen from favour a bit in the 60s, and then this was his big comeback thing. He was massively bankable. And instead of coming to the ceremony, he didn't come to the ceremony at all, and sent Sachin Littlefeather to refuse his award on his behalf and to read a 15-page statement he'd written on why he was turning it down, protesting Hollywood's treatment of Native Americans and a recent incident at a wounded knee. Backstage, she was told she'd be kicked out unless she kept her remarks to 60 seconds rather than his 15-page statement. So she had to improvise what she actually said on stage and read the statement to the press later on. This incident made the Academy decide that they were no longer going to allow anyone other than the awards presenter to accept the statue on behalf of an absent winner. You know what? It feels like, it's a nice political statement you want to make. However, you've sort of shoved this ill-prepared, unprotected, vulnerable person into the firing line on your behalf.
Are you telling me that Marlon Brando doesn't necessarily have the best interests of young women at heart?
Yeah, that may well be true. I've just looked up. I think she was in her early 20s at the time.
I always look excited.
She looks quite young. She said, she said that he called her, asked her to appear on his behalf. And she said, I was a spokesperson, so to speak, for the stereotype of Native Americans in film and television. What could have been a very powerful moment, perhaps if he'd shown up with her, provided solidarity to her.
Was he not even at the ceremony?
He wasn't even there.
That's super awkward.
Yeah. The entire speech reads, Hello, my name is Sachin Littlefeather. I'm Apache and I'm president of the National Native American Affirmative Image Committee. I'm representing Marlon Brando this evening, and he has asked me to tell you in a very long speech, which I cannot share with you presently because of time, but I will be glad to share with the press afterwards, that he very regretfully cannot accept this very generous award, and the reason for this being are the treatment of American Indians today by the film industry, excuse me, boos and cheers, and on television in movie reruns, and also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee. I beg at this time that I have not intruded upon this evening, and that we will in future, our hearts and our understandings will meet with love and generosity. Thank you on behalf of Marlon Brando.
I mean, boos to that, that's a very polite.
There was applause at the end of it, by the sound of it. Later that night, apparently, Raquel Welch, announcing the winner for Best Actress, said, I hope the winner doesn't have a cause. And Clint Eastwood presented the Best Picture Award.
This is not going to end well.
Oh no, it didn't. He was presenting it on behalf of all the cowboys shot in John Ford westerns over the years.
I mean, listen, he's thinking on his feet. It's a solid joke. At least he wasn't having an argument with an empty chair.
In fairness, the best line came from Michael Caine, the night's co-host, who said Brando shouldn't have let some poor little Indian girl take the booze instead of standing up and doing it himself.
That's very... I thought that was going to be a nice little pun on booze.
Yes.
Should have let some poor little Indian girl take the booze while he was back home sinking it.
Yeah, exactly. After giving the speech, she visited Marlon Brando, and while they were talking, apparently bullets were fired into his front door.
Jesus.
Yeah. Other people did leap in and sort of congratulate her. Coretta Scott King, Martin Luther King's widow, called her to thank her for the speech. And the 87th Oscar ceremony in 2014 was criticised for Oscar so white, for the lack of diversity. Mm-hmm. And Jada Pinkett Smith, who boycotted the ceremony, cited Littlefeather as an inspiration for doing so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she's campaigned against obesity, alcoholism and diabetes, assisted Native Americans with AIDS, including her brother. Worked with Mother Teresa, which is less of a cool thing nowadays.
I mean, it's not her fault she didn't do her due diligence on her.
Yeah. She seems to have been quite a good person and appeared in several films, including there is a documentary, short documentary came out last year called Sachin about her.
You know what? That is a uncharacteristically happy note.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, so fair play to her. Poor show perhaps on Marlon Brando to leave her up there unsupported, but well done her for, you know, taking the Oscars so white fight to them 40 years before the rest of us.
Yeah, she was a trailblazer.
Yeah. So that's all the bits and pieces I found about the Oscars. Thank you guys as ever for listening to Worst Foot Forward and for supporting us, and particularly those people who donate on patreon.com, which helps pay for these extra episodes that we do each month. If you enjoy them, if there's a topic that we've done in a past episode that you'd like to hear a little bit more about, drop us a line on Twitter on @WorstFoot, on Facebook, find Worst Foot Forward on there, or send an email to worstfootforwardpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find all of our previous episodes and stuff on our website, worstfootforwardpodcast.com.
As ever with Patreon, we want to expand and do bigger, better and sexier things.
Emphasis on the sexier.
Yeah, emphasis on the sexier. Just two more Patreon donors and me and Barry will buy ourselves thongs.
Worst foot fetish.
Worst foot... Oh, we've not done World's Worst Fetish. I don't think we want to either.
I'm not sure.
but if we get a few more donors, we'll be putting on a live show.
Mm.
And then a few more after that, and we'll be putting on a live dinner party for four of you to attend, which we will record and release out into the world.
Yeah.
So if you've enjoyed this episode, if you've enjoyed any of our previous episodes, and want to chuck us a bit of sweet, sweet dollar to keep doing what we're doing, head to patreon.com/worstfootforward. Forward. I think I'm ready for my close-up now, Mr. McStay.
Da, 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 da. We're being played off. Thank you for listening. And join us next time. Bye. Bye.
Worst Foot Forward is part of Podnose, the UK's leading independent entertainment podcasting network. For episode archives of Worst Foot Forward and all of the shows on the network, visit us at www.podnose.com. You can also follow us on Twitter via @Podnose or send us an email via admin@podnose.com.